Studio 360.
Thelma Schoonmaker has edited every one of Martin Scorsese's films for the last 37 years, as well as his very first feature film when they were both in their 20s. Since some of his movies are among my all-time favorites, I have always wanted to talk to this woman who has collaborated with him so much. She has cut everything from the balletic fight sequences in Raging Bull to the wild, drugged-out party scenes in Wolf of Wall Street. But her most recent collaboration with Scorsese is a very different film. It's called Silence.
Our Lord said to them, "Go ye into the whole world and preach the gospel to every living creature."
It's set in Japan in the 1600s, and it's this beautiful, meditative, anguishing story of Jesuit missionaries. Priests played by Andrew Garfield and Adam Driver, and an ex-priest, Liam Neeson. The Japanese authorities don't want any missionaries there at all and are torturing the local Christians to whom they're ministering.
What would you do for them? Pray? And get what in return? Only more suffering. I pray too, Rodriguez. It doesn't help. Go on. Pray. But pray with your eyes open.
That's Liam Neeson in Silence, and Thelma Schoonmaker is here in the studio with me now to talk about that movie and how she's cut some of Scorsese's most memorable sequences over many years. Thelma Schoonmaker, welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you.
First of all, congratulations on finishing Silence, which was 30 years in the making.
30 years hoping to get made, right. And then we began working on it about 2 years ago in Taiwan. And it was a very difficult shoot because they had to climb up all those mountains. And Marty, right, being a New Yorker, is not exactly into that kind of thing.
Yes. Before Silence, his and your last film was The Wolf of Wall Street, which is, you know, if you were going to say, it's like Obama versus Trump. How opposite can we be?
Exactly.
for you, is that a good thing to work on something so radically different in its themes and its logistics and its design, music, editing, everything?
Absolutely, because that's one of the great things about working for him, is that every film is different. He never wants to repeat himself, and he sets himself certain challenges with each film, and I get to go over the hurdle with him, which is very, very exciting. It makes every film a new, wonderful adventure, and I just love it.
Right. Even though it lacks sort of Scorsese trademarks like, whoa, look at that complicated pivot, you know, tracking shot. There are a couple of beautiful aerial shots.
Well, that was very deliberate. Marty wanted to make it very simple and classic.
Right.
Because he felt the material demanded that. And also 17th century Japan, which,
right,
was a very formal place, demanded that. So
he
wanted to really evoke the life of the villagers and then also the dilemma that Rodriguez is in with very formal classic filmmaking, and didn't want a lot of quick cuts or jazzy camera moves.
He didn't feel
that was right. Yeah, I think he deliberately did not want to make it look like any film being made today, and he particularly did not want the music to tell people what to think. First, he said he wanted no music at all, that we would use insect sounds, because the Shinto religion in Japan is very much allied with nature. And also in the book written by Endo, there are mentions of insects all the time, flies, cicadas, a bird sound. But then,
and that's beautifully done.
Yes, a lot of people say they do feel nature constantly.
Yeah.
A lot of cicadas.
Yes.
That's God's sign.
I've known him for a very, very long time.
Yes.
And I was aware from the first film I ever worked on with him that he had a deep interest in religion.
Right.
But it was not cool for our generation in the 60s to be Christian. It was okay to be interested in Zen or,
right,
you know, some other exotic form of religion, but not the Christian religion. And so I think he had, to a certain extent, hide it socially.
Really? Because that was always one of the interesting things about him is that, whoa, he's this obsessed, guilty Catholic guy.
But it's in his films. Yeah. It's very much in his films.
I'll say, and not just The Last Temptation of Christ.
Oh, no. From the very beginning.
Yeah.
You don't make up for your sins in the church. You do it in the streets. You do it at home.
He's always wanted to make a film about the collision of Rome and Christianity. I don't know if we'll ever make it. But so he's always been deeply interested. He reads all the time great classical works.
And the other, I mean, one thing's The Last Temptation of Christ, and as you say, all the other Christian imagery and themes in other films of his. But then there's Kundun as well, which is in Asia. It's a biopic about the Dalai Lama. But like, Kundun meets Last Temptation of Christ is Silence a little bit, right?
Yes. I guess you could put it that way, right? I think he was interested in Kundun, not only in the religion in it, but in what it was like for a little boy to be,
yes,
to become a king, the focus of this incredible devotion. I think that's what attracted him at first, but it certainly is one of the three films that he considers his religious films, yes.
Right. And speaking of Wolf of Wall Street, it was a very funny movie, among other things. And I was thinking, wow, and I hadn't thought of it at the time, but thought, oh, since After Hours and I guess King of Comedy 30-odd years ago, I don't think there have been Scorsese Schoonmaker comedies. From an editing and pacing performance, is that a different language altogether?
Well, yes, if you're dealing with classic comedy, when we were cutting, for example, Jerry Lewis's footage in King of Comedy, really great comedians have timing ideas. They said that Gracie Allen was one of the greatest, the wonderful radio performer.
And television.
Oh, I just loved her. She had supposedly the greatest comic timing in the world, and they count. So, for example, in Jerry Lewis would say to some of the people on the set, I'm going to say something to you. Count to three before you answer me, because that's how the comic timing is built.
Right. So walk me through how you and Martin Scorsese work together. I mean, you say you see a script, you see a shooting script right before he shoots, and then you wait till you get the film and you do your thing. Is that it? Or is he with you? Or do you sit down for a couple of days and say, okay, this I think goes here and this maybe is shorter? How does that work?
Well, I always do the first cut.
On your own?
Yes, from his, when he looks at dailies with me, that's very important.
And you do that as you're shooting?
Yes, hopefully, yes. We weren't able to do it a lot in Taiwan because they were so exhausted when they got back from, and they were getting back so late. But once he looks at dailies, then he gives me a ton of notes and I tell him what I feel. He wants me to be a cold eye looking at the dailies and tell him if there's anything wrong.
And he says the third take is great and you say, no, it's the fifth take.
That's right. So I take very careful notes from that, and then I make selects in descending order of preference of the delivery of the line, for example, and then I make the first cut, and then as soon as he's through shooting, he comes in, and we do everything else together. We sometimes like to do 12 edits of our movie.
And how many weeks is that?
It depends. Sometimes it can be as long as a year.
Really?
Yeah. Sometimes it can be 6 months. We cut Cape Fear in 6 months.
But never less than 6 months?
No.
Wow, that's a hard job.
Yeah, it takes a long time to get it right, you know, and
so that's like 30 seconds a day or less.
No.
I just did the math. It is.
We work really hard and we screen much more and recut much more than most editors are allowed to do. Fortunately, we are allowed to do that.
Right.
I think more editors should live with their films longer. You have to live with the film.
Absolutely.
Really
or anything.
Live with it.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's so important. And then, of course, all the finishing work takes a long time, putting the music in and the sound effects and mixing it and all of that.
Are you still highly involved in that process?
Oh, very much so. Yeah. Yeah. I mix the rough cuts.
So you're really the director. You're really the filmmaker. We should start saying Thelma Schoonmaker films.
Not at all. Marty is very much the director.
Yeah.
I'm his collaborator. Everybody goes, yeah, but you know, it's true.
I know.
He's a great editor. He taught me everything I ever know about editing.
So what did he teach you? Like, for instance, how do you use editing and holding on a character to build the character? What's an example of that?
Well, one thing that would be something you might know, which is that in the scene in Goodfellas where Joe Pesci is asking, "What's so funny about me?"
What do you mean I'm funny? It's funny, you know. It's a good story. It's funny. You're a funny guy.
What do you mean? You mean the way I talk?
What? It's just, you know, you're just funny. It's, you know, the way you tell the story and everything.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you. I make you laugh. I'm here to f***ing amuse you. What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
One of the interesting cuts that we made there is this is a situation that actually happened to Joe Pesci himself, and he told Marty about it, and then Marty decided to put it in the film.
Uh-huh.
So actually the Ray Liotta character is who Joe Pesci was, and Joe Pesci is playing the mafia guy who's tormenting him. And Pesci told Marty, "I knew at a certain point that I had to figure out a way to break it with humor or something, or I was going to get killed." And so we spent a long time trying to figure out how long to wait for Ray Liotta to say,
"Get the f*** out of here, Tommy."
And we tried it with 8 seconds. We tried it with 7 seconds. We tried it with
seconds. To end the tension of somebody's going to get killed right here.
Six seconds of time.
Right.
And after the last explosive and threatening remark,
"How the f*** am I funny? What the f*** is so funny about me? Tell me. Tell me what's funny."
Instead of cutting to Ray Liotta and having him say the line right away, Marty told him, "Wait." And then,
"Get the f*** out of here, Tommy."
And everybody starts to laugh. So we tried many different lengths of how long to hold on Ray Liotta. That's the kind of thing that editing is about. And one of the things I tell students, too, that whole sequence was shot in a medium wide. There were no close-ups in it at all because Marty wanted to show what was happening to the people around Ray Liotta and around Joe Pesci. As it starts out very funny, everybody's laughing, then pretty soon things begin to get a little scary, and they get scarier and scarier. And you see on the faces of the people around them that they're really beginning to get worried. And that was a great lesson for me in the right use of technique. You don't always have to have close-ups. Sometimes a medium shot or a wide shot is just as good.
Well, and it's interesting that he said, "Wait," and there's a version of comedy going on in that horrible, oh my God, scene. And of course, it you said about Jerry Lewis and King of Comedy, he said, "Count to three." So it is a timing thing of a second or two.
Well, editing is all about timing and rhythm, know, between two actors. And so that we often will delay a line delivery. Or, for example, Marty sometimes will take the sound out, as he did in Silence. There's a scene where Kichichiro steps on a fumi, and it swish pans to his mother, who's horrified.
And just so people know who that is, it's this kind of skeevy Christian character, right?
Right.
And who is forced to step on an image of Jesus.
Of Jesus to show that he's apostatizing, giving up the faith, supposedly. And the camera swish pans to his mother, screaming in horror that he's done this. And Marty said, "Take the sound out." And it's so powerful. It's so powerful. And there are several other times where we did that in the movie, too. And there have been other times where we've done it in Raging Bull, for example, when Sugar Ray Robinson cannot get Jake LaMotta to go down in the last crucial fight. And he can't figure out what he can do to get him to go down. And Marty did this incredibly beautiful shot, where Sugar Ray pulls back, the lights dim, and you just see Sugar Ray standing there breathing. You hear just the sound of an animal breathing. And our sound editor, Frank Warner, said to us, "Take the sound away." And then go back to Sugar Ray, and the lights come back up, and the camera comes back up to speed, and he comes in for the kill. And so all of that is what makes editing and great camera work and great directing.
Yes. You have made all of these movies, all of Martin Scorsese's movies with him since 1980. Recently, you've done two, you've cheated on him twice, right? I mean, Bombay Velvet and Learning to Drive?
That's right, because while he was trying to raise the money, finally.
Oh, for Silence?
Yeah.
You had to earn a living.
I had to earn a living. And these were people had come to him and asked if there was anyone he knew who could. So it was actually great. It was a great experience, both of them, and it helped me financially get through the year. right.
Really? And did it feel like, oh, hey, I can do without him?
No. It was interesting because I was not working with a director on either of them, and that was interesting. But
you mean you just had the film and you were doing it your own?
There were previous edits that I was re-editing.
Ah.
Yeah. And so because there was no director, it was really my call. It was very interesting to work that way.
Did it make you feel like, oh, I can be a director?
No, I adore working with Marty. It's very different.
Yeah, sure. Thelma, this was just the greatest. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Silence is in theaters now. And to hear Thelma Schoonmaker give a blow-by-blow, an actual blow-by-blow, of how she edited one of the great fight scenes in Raging Bull, go to Studio360.org.